Well, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5 to start with. And this is, I am a little chagrined that I don't have the notes for you. There may be a couple of passages that I might want you to see. So you might want to be ready, if you've got your Bibles with you, to be able to switch to another spot fairly quickly. But what we're going to be doing is looking at 1 Peter 5, 1 to 4 to start with. We were there last week. We're talking there about proper shepherding in troubling times. And we're basically talking about being a pastor, or a word to the pastors during the times of trouble or the times of pressure that Peter was writing about in 1 Peter, in the context. And what I want to do tonight is go back to verse 1 and really just key in on the word elders. And then Peter calls himself your fellow elder. And so, and in this whole paragraph, Peter is encouraging the elders about their function or service and their hope in Christ. So as we go back, though, I want to focus simply on the office of elder, what the term means, what it implies for the growth of Christian men in general, but those who aspire to the office in particular. And I really, as I was thinking about the message last week, and I sort of made a big challenge to our younger men to be thinking about their own lives and how the Lord might use them. And it's not simply in the pastorate that men need to be used. And it's not simply young men. We all can be used. And I guess it's not simply men either. But I want to really encourage you to be thinking about these things in your own spiritual life to as to how God would have you to grow. What's the direction He wants you to go? How can you be useful in His service? That's really what it comes down to. Because those who serve as elders are people who have given their lives to serving God as leaders of Christian people. But all of us have ministries in one way or another. Sometimes we have ministries of leadership. I think almost everybody has some kind of ministry of leadership, whether you're aware of it or not. And so being the kind of godly person that God wants you to be will enable and empower the leadership ministry of your life. Maybe we could say the influencer. Maybe that's a better way. You might be more willing to believe that. Say, I don't have any group that's following me. But you do have an influence. There's people in your life. You have family members, you have friends and other associates that you might be able to be an impact or an influence. And so all of these things really do apply in many ways to all of us, although our topic tonight is especially about the office of elder. So let's read the first four verses of 1 Peter 5, and then I'm going to focus on that word. Therefore I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the unfading crown of glory. So we're talking about the elders. We're talking about the office of elder. So the proposition for our message tonight is this: the office of elder, or, and I put in brackets, pastor. We want to use the term synonymously here. But the office of elder calls for men of spiritual maturity. Now, as we understand the Bible, God puts men in the leadership roles in the church, but that doesn't mean women have no leadership roles. And so women can be instructed by the things that are laid out for men as well. There are parallel things laid out for women that is specific to their role and ministry. But all of us can gain something from instructions that we find regarding the various offices. And we might never serve as one of these things. And yet, they give us instruction and pattern. They're profitable for our own spiritual life as well. So it doesn't matter what your category is. We're not dividing everybody up, but I do want to encourage you all to profit from this. All right, so the first thing I want to talk about, though, is the heritage of the term elder. It's an interesting term that in the New Testament. It's used in the New Testament for both elders of the Jews and elders of the churches. So where did the term come from? And this is sort of difficult to track down. I actually read an essay on this in one of my commentaries. Sometimes commentaries go verse by verse talking about a particular subject. And some of the commentaries have a thing that they call an excursus. That means we're sort of starting off here in this verse and we're going to wander far afield and talk about a topic. And in this one commentary, there was an excursus on elders. And I found it quite interesting because he does point out that the term, it had a widespread use in the Greco-Roman world, the world of the first century. He says in his essay, this commentator, he says this term would be widely familiar. It would resonate. If you were to say, well, he's an elder in that church, if you're over in Corinth somewhere, so-and-so is an elder in the church, then the lost person would understand what you mean, at least to a certain degree, what that means. All right? In fact, it's even found in Egypt, in their writings about as a term for leaders in their communities. So the Egyptians used it that way. Of course, the Greeks used the term for city leaders. And I just find these words, I just love these words. I love studying the ancient culture of Greece and Rome because it does inform us about the New Testament. And then, of course, so many of the words, we find them in the New Testament. Now, we have a word in the New Testament where Peter or Paul tells Timothy to exercise himself towards godliness. And the verb there is gymnazo. And it comes from the word gymnasium, right? Well, we get the word gymnasium from it. But there is a noun form, gymnasium. And the gymnasium was an assembly place in a Greek city. And in the gymnasium, they would say it, There were leaders there. There was an influential group within that sort of community called, I can see if I can pronounce it right, the Gerousia. The Gerousia. We get, there's a term for elder care. Is it gerontology? Is that what it is? Geriatrics, that's what it is. But we get that word from this, Gerousia, the elders. Okay? Gerousia. All right. I love the words. I don't know why. It's just so interesting to me. In Sparta, in the gymnasium, the gerousia, the minimum age for this group was 60. You had to be 60 to get in. All right. These were the elders. All right. Now, the word that we have here is presbyteros. It's a synonym for gerousia. All right. So they're used interchangeably, but it talks about elders. In the Greek town meeting, I'm full of these words that I love fooling around with, so you're just going to have to indulge me. The ecclesia, you know that word, means that we translate that word church, means assembly. But in the Greek town meeting, that was the ecclesia, the assembly of the town, and in the ecclesia, it was the elders who led. Okay? So, and it was also used for those who were older and wiser members of other groups. So in the army, there would be veterans. They would use the term elders. Okay, so older and wiser. That's the idea. The Jewish synagogue had elders. The term is much in use in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, known as the Septuagint, of the leaders in Israel. Now, the earliest uses, if you go into the Greek Old Testament, the earliest uses refer to people of old age. So when Abraham and Sarah were old, Isaac was conceived. They were presbyteroi or something. I forget exactly the form of it. But they were elders and they conceived Isaac. All right. So it refers to old age. But its first use as a reference to leaders is in the Exodus. I don't think you need to turn to this one, but it's Exodus 17:5. I'm just going to read this one and then pass by it. Then the Lord said to Moses, and this is just before they head out. Pass before, or they're just about to head out. He says, pass before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand your staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. As far as I can tell, that's the first use of the term in the Old Testament, in the Greek Old Testament, that refers to elders as sort of leading men in the group. Later on, you'll remember that the Exodus, they crossed the Red Sea, they got to Mount Sinai, God gave the law, or God was about to give the law. As they were at Mount Sinai, they were camped out there, and Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, or Reuel, he's called in some places, came to him to visit. And he saw Moses sitting at the seat of judgment all day long. And there were all millions of people in this camp, and they were all having problems. And I don't know, somebody was stealing somebody's rice or something, I don't know. But they were having all kinds of issues, and Moses was judging them. And so his father-in-law said to him, and I'm just going to read just little excerpts here in Exodus 18. This gives the concept of leadership, but not the term. Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you are doing is not good. You will surely wear out both yourself and these people who are with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. Now listen to me. Select out of all the people able men who fear God. Place these over them as leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. Let them judge the people." And so here is the idea of leadership that comes in. And then this whole idea of elder leadership was replicated in the much later synagogues and in the Sanhedrins of first century Israel. Now, we think of the Sanhedrin as one body, the ruling council of the Jews, the one that's sitting in Jerusalem. But in fact, every little community in Israel had a Sanhedrin. So there are many Sanhedrins, the idea of elder leadership. Now, given the synagogue model, which the early church modified in its worship, it is likely that the term elder came into the church from the synagogues. So, let's see here. I think I have some summary things in a minute. Now, let's just talk about what the term emphasizes. First of all, age contributes to what the term emphasizes. Now, not just the fact that, that if somebody's old, they qualify. Obviously, there's something more than that. What they say about experience. Some people can have 1 year of experience 20 times, and other people have 20 years of experience. All right, so you've heard that line, I'm sure, or something like that. In Israel, the older members of the community were the typical local community leaders. And it's generally true. Obviously, men who have gone through some life experience, they become more qualified at dealing with life. They can be, and often young men, they're full of energy and passion and not much experience. And so an older advisor can help them when they have a question and they're not quite sure what to do. Or maybe they're about to head over the cliff, and an older person can say, if you do that, this is what's likely to happen. So there is that concept in our world. In the ancient world, elders were people who were held in respect. So the term constitutes, it talks about age, it talks about leadership, it talks about respect. It talks about the qualities that make for elder leadership are these: experience. I think the idea of somebody who has gone ahead and been through it and made some mistakes and learned from them. Experience. And I often like to talk to men who know how to build things. I like building things. I just don't always build them square. That's one of my problems. And I'll go talk to somebody and take advantage of their experience to help me with my many problems in that area. All right? And then maturity. And obviously, one would think that as someone ages, that they will become more mature. That's sort of the idea. That's how most of us develop. But certainly maturity is an aspect or a quality that makes for elder leadership. And then the idea of expertise. Now, this varies. Somebody doesn't mean you have to be an expert in everything, but But certainly, as somebody is an elder in a community, it refers to expertise in life. A couple of comments here from, from the dictionary, an elder is one having authority by virtue of age and experience. That's what an elder is. There's many other meanings of the term, but that's one that is given in the dictionary. And then from another lexicon, in some languages, elder is best rendered as older leaders. But in other languages, the more appropriate term would be the equivalent of counselor, since it would be assumed that counselors would be older than the average person in a group, as well as having authority to lead and direct activities. Now, so the idea of mature leadership is common to all cultures. And I want to note this. We're sort of talking about the term in general terms here. We're talking about the term in terms of how cultures use the term. Just in human terms, the term elder is something that is sort of considered. These are the respected people who have shown by, in the church, let's translate the church a little bit. I will probably talk about this again, and I might say the same thing again. But in the church, these are people who have demonstrated a walk with God and shown some maturity and wise decision-making and some zeal for the things of God so that they can qualify for spiritual leadership. They can be somebody that we can go to for spiritual help. All right? So that's the idea. Now, in the New Testament, the term is often used to refer to those who had leadership positions in the church. Now, in my notes here, I have a whole list of verses, and I had intended to tell you, well, you can study these out later, but if you don't have the sheet, you'll have a little bit of trouble. I can email the sheet to you if you want the notes, or I can have it printed out for you, give you a copy on Sunday, and we can do that too. Anyway, so the church or churches in Jerusalem had elders, and there's references to that, several references in the book of Acts. We aren't certain when they talk about taking matters to the elders in Jerusalem. Does that mean there were many elders in one big church in Jerusalem? Or does that mean there were many churches in Jerusalem that had an elder in each church, at least one? All right, we don't know the answer to that question. And then Paul and Barnabas were appointed, or as they were in their ministry, they appointed elders in churches of Galatia, Acts 14:23, and we're going to come back to that verse in just a little bit here. Paul gathered the elders of Ephesus for his farewell message to them. And by the way, so you might want to turn there, right? Turn over to Acts 14:23. Just be in Acts, in chapter 14. We're going to come back to that a little bit later, so I'll give you a fair warning, because that's a couple of verses, and we will end up back in 1 Peter, but I do want you to see a couple things as we look at these passages. Okay? Okay, so, and then the sick in James are encouraged to call the elders to pray for them. Okay? So all of that's important. Alright, let's make sure I'm in the right chapter here. Okay, there we go. Now, in writing to Timothy, Paul gives instructions about elders, 1 Timothy 5:17. And then he instructs Titus to appoint elders in Crete in Titus 1:5. And, I'm a little ahead of myself on Acts 14, but Acts 20 is probably, just a couple pages over, is the place that I want you to notice, the next thing that we want you to notice. Okay, and as you're turning there, you might also want to be sneaking your finger back in your Bible towards Titus as well, because I want you to see a couple of things with respect to the different terms that are used. And we've talked about these before, and the interchangeable terms. There is, as the church developed in history, there was sort of a division of terms. And I don't know, the church... Humans tend to want to systematize and organize, and, you know, I've never been much of a one for organization myself, as my people can testify. But as the church organized, it assigned specific titles to specific, if you want to say, ranks in the church. In the army, you have ranks, generals and majors and colonels, and I don't know what order they come in, and then down at the bottom, you have the privates, of course. That's not, you want to be on the higher end. It's way better. But anyway, in the church, we do have different terms for the leaders of the church. But what I want you to see is that they are used interchangeably. So here we go in the Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 17. All right, and it says, "From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church." Remember, he's traveling down, he's heading towards Jerusalem, and he calls the elders of the church from Ephesus. Now, that could be Ephesus and the surrounding area. We don't know exactly what he means by that, but at least the elders in Ephesus and others in the area, most likely. Down to verse 28, he's speaking to these men, these elders. "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." See that word. And then it says, "to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." So he says to the elders, God has made you overseers. Now that's a different word. That's the word episkopos. We get Episcopalian from that. And that's the word in the King James is translated bishop. And of course, the church, as it got really organized, it put bishops at the top of the heap. Okay, unless you're the Bishop of Rome, and then you're really at the top of the heap. You see, that's in the hierarchy thing. But the New Testament doesn't know anything about a hierarchy. It says, elders, you are made bishops, made overseers. And then he says, I want you to shepherd the church of God. Now, this is the verb form of the word pastor. All right? To shepherd. Okay, so I want you to go over to Titus now. And I guess that's... Okay, and then I want you to... let's read verse 5. Oh, Titus chapter 1. You're just supposed to guess. Okay, so Titus chapter 1, verse 5. And he's talking to Titus about what he sent him, or why he left him in Crete. "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains. And here's the task. Appoint elders in every city as I directed you." And he is... And then he gives the qualifications for an elder there. All right, and I'm not going to go through all those, but look down to verse 7. Then he says, "For the overseer must be above reproach. I'm sending you to appoint elders." Here's what they're supposed to be. "For the overseer," the bishop, "must be above reproach." So it's exactly the same thing. The New Testament doesn't know anything about this hierarchy. They're just different terms for the same thing. That's what I want you to see. All right, so now let's go back to our 1 Peter 5. And we're looking at our passage there that we've been in. He says, "Therefore I exhort the elders among you." So he's talking to the elders. And then verse 2, he says, "Shepherd the flock of God among you." What's that word? Pastor. Okay, that's the word pastor. And then he says, "Exercising oversight. Be a bishop." Okay? Pastor them and be a bishop. That's what he's saying. So the point of all this is that these terms are parallel. Now, I'm not going to go into lengthy detail on this, but the New Testament only knows, Paul refers to only two offices in the church, or gives qualifications for only two offices. In 1 Timothy 3, he talks about bishops / overseers. Okay, so we translate, in the King James it's translated bishop, others in the New American I think it's overseer. That's what he is, but he's the pastor. And then in 1 Timothy 3, the deacons. Deacons likewise. In Titus chapter 1, where we just were, he talks to the elders and he tells them that overseers, you all must do this. So it's one office that he's talking about there, the pastors. Now, there are some people, there's a current popular teaching in some circles that says there must be multiple elders in every church. And and sometimes they'll talk about the pastor is one of the elders, and then there's other men who are elders, and some churches have elders and deacons. And there is sort of a movement towards this. I'm really not in favor of it myself. And I'll give you one of my commentaries is in favor. He says, it is also likely that elders functioned as a plurality in the churches since the term is always plural, he says. And Acts 14:23 says, elders were appointed for them in each church. All right, so first of all, that's not strictly true, that elders are always plural in the New Testament. The one place where it's not is in 2 John 1. John identifies himself as the elder, singular. And 3 John 1, same thing. So it's not strictly true that elder is always plural. And then when Paul instructs Titus to appoint elders in Crete. Let's see. No, I'm in the wrong verse, wrong page here. Something happened. Okay, so the term is used, as we showed, interchangeably with bishop or overseer, which is used in the singular. Okay, so the bishop, if a man desires the office of a bishop, that he desires a good work. And quite clearly that word, overseer or bishop, is, I'm running out of time, is interchangeable and is singular. All right? Now, the activity in Paul and Barnabas can be taken when they were appointing elders in every church, not in each church, but in every church. It could be taken to refer to singular leaders appointed in multiple churches. So it's not cut and dried. The point is that there is no command in the New Testament that there must be multiple elders in every church. There's just no command whatsoever. The issue is leadership. Are there pastors, bishops, elders? That's one office. Are there deacons? That's one office. Those are the things that we should be looking for leadership in the churches. Now, there is nothing wrong with having multiple pastors or multiple elders in a church. But there is no New Testament requirement for it either. And I personally do not believe in what is called lay elders. I believe that if somebody is an elder in the church, or a pastor, he should be on the staff. He should be a paid leader. Right, but that gets into a whole other ball of wax. We're not going to get into this. All right. Okay, so now, I've got one more point. Maybe we should come back to this next time, but I want to just address this as we think about the leadership of the local church. There are spiritual qualities that men should have. Women should have them too. There are spiritual desires that men and women should have. We talked about, in 1 Timothy, it talks about, he says that it is a good thing to desire the office of a bishop. And so the Bible gives us the qualifications, the kind of spiritual life that the person needs to have. So those who are in the church should not only aspire to that office, but they should develop in their spiritual life the qualities that qualify for that office. Does that make sense? In other words, you can't just simply say, I'm not honest, I don't take care, I'm terrible with money, I'm a bad leader, but I would like to be a pastor. It's just not going to work. You have to be a spiritually minded Christian. You have to grow in the qualities. So I'm going to stop there, and we'll come back and talk more about this next week. And I was a little afraid of that I would run out of time anyway. But I do think it's important for us to think about these things, and we'll close tonight with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had tonight to look at these scriptures. We pray that as we think about this subject, that it might be something that informs our understanding about the kind of people we should be in the church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.